Trade truce between the world's biggest economies gave Wall Street a boost Monday. The S&P traded in record territory, while the Dow also surged, shooting up more than 250 points at the open. The rally fueled by a revival in trade talks between the U.S. and China.
A skirmish over stock market access between Switzerland and the European Union risks escalating into a broader political battle over sovereignty. It came to a head on Monday when Brussels refused to extend recognition of Swiss market regulation, effectively banning EU-based banks and brokers from trading on Swiss exchanges. The step punished Bern for failing to endorse a treaty negotiated over 4.5 years ago that would have non-EU member Switzerland routinely adopt changes to EU single market rules.
Iran has entered a new, more dangerous phase in its standoff with the U.S. over the tattered 2015 nuclear deal after it broke through the accord's limits for stockpiling low-enriched uranium. The U.N. nuclear watchdog, the IAEA, on Monday confirmed the uranium breach, a dramatic step that Iran had repeatedly threatened to take after U.S. President Donald Trump abandoned the nuclear deal last year against the wishes of European allies.
Now, WGN Radio's Daily Conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's July the 2nd, and it's 5:09 in the morning. Thank you for tuning in for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway. We're another day closer to the 4th of July holiday, too. We've put together a really good broadcast for you this morning with the 4th of July in mind. We're going to be talking a little bit about what the top grilling items are for the 4th of July as ranked by a couple of supermarkets, and also give you some recommendations maybe for a little bit of Chicago barbecue, if that's what you have a taste for this 4th of July weekend. Doug Roth, the CEO and founder of Playground Hospitality, will join us momentarily this morning here on The Opening Bell. A little bit later in the program, Suburban McDonald's is testing out robots and artificial intelligence-powered drive-thrus. We will check in with a reporter who's seen it all in action. Heather Haddon will be here from the Wall Street Journal. She's a reporter on food, retail, and policy there at the Wall Street Journal. That'll be about 5:38 this morning, so stay tuned. We'll get going this morning first with the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk as we look at futures for the Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P all in the red this morning heading to the opening bell. Dow, NASDAQ, S&P futures off by about a quarter to a third this morning. In Europe, markets are generally mixed. In London, a little bit higher, up nearly a half a percent. In Germany, off nearly a quarter of a percent. In France, down nearly a tenth. In Asia, markets in the green. In Japan, the Nikkei is going to finish the day up nearly a quarter of a percent, nearly 25 points. In Hong Kong, up nearly a percent and a quarter, up 332 points. In China, off just a fraction this morning. And oil in the U.S. is trading at $58.89 a barrel, which is down about 29 cents. Couple of stories as we begin this morning. The U.S. is threatening tariffs on an additional $4 billion worth of European products in a dispute over aircraft subsidies. The Office of the U.S. Trade Representative yesterday put out a list of possible products ranging from olives to whiskey that could be subject to new tariffs. Taxes is what they really are. You will be paying more for those items. The U.S. already announced $21 billion worth of import duties on European products back in April. Washington and the European Union have threatened tariffs against each other over government subsidies given to U.S. aircraft maker Boeing and its European counterpart Airbus. The World Trade Organization expected to rule on the U.S. sanctions request later this year. In the United States, we may be at peak office capacity. America apparently does not need any more office space, according to a new report. The office vacancy rate rose by 0.2% in the second quarter. Real estate research firm Reese says the 16.8% vacancy rate at the end of June reflects a slowing economy and continuing trade tensions with China. Vacancies increased in 43 of the 79 metro areas. That's higher than most quarters, according to Reese, the report which was out on Monday. Let's begin this morning with Doug Roth, the CEO and founder of Playground Hospitality. Doug is our food expert, food and restaurant expert, and he's with us this morning to talk a little bit about grilling, and finding good barbecue. Doug, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Love being here. Thanks.
Happy 4th of July. A little bit early, but still happy 4th of July week, I guess.
I think that the whole week feels like 4th of July.
Yeah. We're going to talk about food, and I think whenever we say 4th of July, we probably, all of us probably think of barbecue, right? That's what people do. Is that the big thing on the 4th of July to eat?
I would say it's probably the only thing to do, and it probably ends up being not just the 4th of July, but since we have a long weekend, I can see it going into Friday and Saturday and Sunday.
It's interesting. You've kind of compiled for us a list of some of the best foods to eat on the 4th of July, and this article from USA Today even ranks some of them. Let's talk about some of these. First of all, what's your favorite thing to eat on 4th of July?
I guess mine, which is not highly ranked up here, I loved barbecue chicken.
Mm-hmm.
The number one rank, if we're going to take a look at these right now, is hot dog. That is the number one item that most people enjoy, according to this USA study. That is not necessarily my study or your study, but that is their study. In addition to that, number two is hamburger. Number three, this one's interesting.
Yeah, this one surprised me. Yeah.
Wings. I wasn't expecting that. After that, number four is potato salad. Then cupcakes.
Yeah.
I was thinking ice cream, but that was not on the list.
Or apple pie. How about that?
Chevrolet pie or something like that. Yeah, very Americana. Ribs. Ribs, number six. Mm-hmm. Big one. Also one that I enjoy having as well. And then there's nothing like great baked beans. You got to doctor them up a little bit, but baked beans is really big. And then especially corn on the cob.
Corn on the cob, yeah.
What is it, knee-high, 4th of July?
Right. Yep. Knee-high by the 4th of July, right?
But I'm unfortunately hearing that we don't have a lot of corn this year.
But we had a little rain this spring, a little bit of rain.
I heard. And then coleslaw. Coleslaw, the quintessential favorite, comes in many different varieties. And that sort of rounds out the USA top nine in this particular case.
Somebody adding their little bit of commentary there under coleslaw, just a worse version of potato salad. You see that?
I don't even consider. It's truly right. Potato salad. It's in its own world.
Yeah,
totally.
So back to your favorites. I mean, you've cooked probably all of these things at one time or another in your life. If you were to like pick the best, it would be ribs for barbecue chicken for you.
Barbecue ribs, I think, are real big up there. There's nothing like a great brat,
mm-hmm.
or a great Vienna hot dog. Good kosher hot dog, nice garlic to it, mustard. Obviously, ketchup is a swear word when it comes to hot dogs.
Yeah.
But interestingly enough, the number one condiment is ketchup.
Really? Not mustard?
No. Ketchup's the number one.
Mm.
And then mustard falls. And then hot sauce is picking up now as being another major item at this point. You're looking at different types of peppers. As the world's changing a little bit, and taste buds are changing, different types of items are coming up.
Let's talk a little bit about why people are grilling out on the 4th. Obviously, it's part of Americana, but what are the status of restaurants on the 4th of July? Do we have a lot of restaurants that are open on the holiday?
Well, historically, this week is really lousy. And the reason, obviously, is that normally everyone gets together either in a park or at someone's home, or they go out of town in some cases. So it really isn't terrific. Now, that being said, Chicago, fortunately, has been having a great influx of tourism, and a lot of those tourists that are coming in aren't necessarily celebrating the 4th of July because they're obviously from different countries,
mm-hmm.
Especially those from Great Britain wouldn't be celebrating that either. But that being said, there still is the opportunity, if you don't feel like cooking, to going to some great barbecue places and picking up.
Mm-hmm.
And what you can do is, in fact, they give you instructions on how to reheat over the 4th of July, even though they're not open.
Yeah, I wouldn't get into some of the best barbecue places in the city, but I just sort of wanted to set the stage a little bit first. Let's go back to grilling out. It's interesting because you've sort of compiled, not only from USA Today, some of the top-ranked places, but kind of went to Costco and asked them, what do you sell the most of? And I think the results of this little part of your unscientific survey are even more interesting. Talk to us about what you found with Costco.
Well, first of all, I don't know about you, but I'm addicted to Costco. I think that place You know, there's certain places, you know, that people, you know, Home Depot or Lowe's, and but my addiction is Costco. I cannot seem to leave there without necessarily leaving a tremendous amount of my net worth. And as a result, I find that there are just so many things that I like. But as a result, they have come up with a very scientific study. I think they probably went to Harvard or USC or something like that to get this. But or they just took a look at their numbers on a worldwide basis, but more specifically here in the United States. So the largest, which makes up 39% of their sales for grilling season, is steaks and ribs.
Mm-hmm.
19% of that whole number of 100% is poultry and other meats. So I guess that would probably be pork chops and things of that sort. Here's a real interesting one. 16% for grilling is fruits and vegetables. That is telling us something. Again, that the world is sort of moving towards a different direction when it comes to dining habits and how they're looking for healthfulness at this point. Then 14% of burgers and hot dogs, 10% is seafood. It's funny. Then they have a breakdown, and I don't. It's actually pretty cool as to grill pizza, but they have that down and desserts for 2%. And there's some desserts that you can also throw on the grill as well. But what's real important, which I'm not sure if you know about, is when you grill, you want to grill meats really quickly because they're a denser product. But you want to take chicken at a much lower temperature for a longer period of time. And one thing that is real important to have is a thermometer. The internal temperature on meats and also on, well, more poultry items, mm-hmm. Less on meats. Certainly, I'm not encouraging people to cook things raw by any means, but you need an internal temperature of about 165 degrees. So you need that as one of your grilling instruments.
People always think that they always laugh when you're like, oh, Dad's going to be the griller of this picnic. It's a hard job because if you especially have a lot of people coming over and they're part of your cookout, you kind of have to time all this stuff in the right way, don't you?
Well, actually, that was a discussion that we were having a couple nights ago about how difficult it is, yeah. Even in your own kitchen or your grilling, is and that's what we face in the restaurant business, is it's all timing. And when to, what we say, fire things, meaning when do you put certain things on the grill because you know they're going to cook faster than other things that are going to take longer, and especially if different people have different desires for cooking temperatures. If I'm a medium rare guy, you're a well done guy. You know,
yeah.
It's you know, it takes a lot of finesse in order to make it happen.
Yeah, and especially if you're doing the chicken, if you are having that chicken go a little longer, or maybe you're even smoking something, you've got to time that out just right.
Well, as I said, it's got to be 165.
Right.
I think one of the most unusual situations I ever had in a restaurant is when a server came up to me and asked me how I'd like my chicken done. You know, you want it done.
Yeah.
You know, I've never heard of medium-rare chicken.
The vegetables, the fruits and vegetables part of that Costco survey is kind of interesting. Are we to believe that people are grilling fruit?
Grilling fruit is fabulous.
Really?
Especially for desserts.
Like, give me an idea of, like, what would you grill? What kind of fruit would you grill?
Peaches. I think, and especially Georgia peaches right now. Mm-hmm. You might be getting some also out of Michigan at this point, and they're fabulous. And all you do is grill them. You could put a little bit of sugar on them, not a lot. Most of the time they have enough sugar as it is. Mm-hmm. It'll caramelize from the grilling. And then what you do is you put some really great vanilla ice cream, mm-hmm. You know, the kind that really has a lot of butterfat in it. And so it just is going to taste fabulous, okay, the cold and the hot.
Mouth is watering already this morning during this conversation. Well, so let's talk a little bit about if you don't want to, again, grill out and you want to maybe hit some of the best barbecue places in Chicago, where would you go to get barbecue if you were going to go out and eat, Doug?
Funny you should mention that. I was in the mood last night of barbecue, and I also thought I'd share it with my friend here, Mr. S.
Yeah, and that's helping making my mouth water, by
the
way. We've got
good.
A plate
because,
of it right here.
Right, because right now the studio smells like barbecue, which is, and hopefully it will smell for the rest of the day into 4th of July. I really like two places. One place is at 3800 North Pulaski, and also down at Revival Hall, which is Smoke. These guys were sort of the forerunner in getting sort of new barbecue going. It's great because the owner's father, Chris, is at the front door and helping, you know, sort of give you an idea of what to order. He'll bring over a little something to nosh on. And I just really think that they have some awesome brisket. In addition to that, the ribs and chicken are outstanding. In fact, I brought a couple of those for you to try. Peach cobbler. Who doesn't like peach cobbler? Bread pudding. And what was interesting was there were cars there. I was sort of looking from where they were from. At the license plate frames, they were from everywhere from the south side to the north shore to the western suburbs. And that speaks, obviously, to the fact that they're doing it right.
Yeah, Smoke is one of my favorite as well. And every time I've been, there's always a line, which tells you that it's good food.
Yeah, right. I wish the guy good luck yesterday, and then I realized you don't need good luck.
Yeah, right.
You just keep doing it right.
So if you go to Smoke and there you've got a line around the corner, which is usually normal, what would be your second choice?
I really also like Green Street Meats. I don't know if you've been over to Green Street. It's one of Brendan Sedikoff's restaurants, and it's really cool to get to. It's across the street from the Soho Hotel over on Green Street, mm-hmm. and you have to go down an alley, and then you open the door, and it's an old warehouse-feeling building, and there are picnic tables with a checkered tablecloths on it. And it really feels like you've stepped in to a whole nother world. It was a warehouse at one point. It's got a really sort of a industrial feel to it. Also, in addition to that, there's a large smoker, so you immediately get the smell. In addition to that, there's sort of a cafeteria line, a great bar. And I love vinyl records. And they're playing everything from Iron Butterfly to the Beatles.
Yeah, and some of the old standbys, too, you've put on the list here, and I have to agree with a couple of these. Bub City, Leon's, these are all places that you can go. Maybe not on the 4th because they may not be open, but through the summer, which is real grilling season.
Yeah, check it out. I mean, I don't know if they're open the 4th or not. Again, if you're not in the mood for doing it yourself, Smoke gave me directions to reheat many of these products at home. And so they're on it. And I guess in the same thing with Twin Anchors, also Carson's, which has been around for years, is a good standby. And they've been doing it, obviously all these for quite a long time. We're a barbecue city.
Yeah. I
mean, maybe people don't necessarily recognize Chicago barbecue, but we are a barbecue city. You can almost go to any restaurant and get some form of barbecue.
Yeah, I think people who like their barbecue kind of know that.
You bet.
Yeah. So I'm going to dive into this as soon as we get done talking this morning. I'm sorry for teasing the audience about it this morning. I'll tell you how it is after the show, though. Let's talk a little bit about, since we're having this summer discussion, about going to some of the best rooftop bars. This has become a huge thing now. I had friends in over the past weekend, and this is all they wanted to do. They wanted to hit all of these rooftop bars. It's a big deal, isn't it? Very popular.
Huge. The unfortunate aspect of it is that this year, let's say we have 90 days in order to enjoy our outdoors, and maybe more than that. This has been one year that has obviously been very disappointing, and a lot of the hotels, because most of the hotels and some restaurants have rooftop dining. A lot of them also, as you know, have cafe dining as well. But that has been a major issue, obviously because, needless to say, as we were talking earlier, that we have basically been in a monsoon season here.
Yeah.
I'm curious, did they go to any place that you remember that was...
With a couple of them on your list here, the Peninsula and Cabra. I think it's pronounced Cabra, right? I think I pronounced that right. It's a Peruvian place?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Stephanie Izzard's restaurant at the new hotel, Hoxton, which is a really cool place that just opened, oh gosh, probably about 6 months ago or so. Really great feel to it. And she's doing a fabulous job on the roof, and the bar itself is terrific too.
Yeah.
And then if you want something that's sort of not as, I'll say, millennial-esque and a little bit more upscale Tony, the Z-Bar at the Peninsula is another place to go.
It is, the views are one thing. That's kind of what my friends wanted. They wanted to be in that
right.
view.
But
also the kinds of cocktails. It's all sort of original. Every place you go has their own sort of flair in some way or another.
Well, a whole new arena right now is mixology. I mean, that's been with us for a while. And curating drinks is almost as popular as creating new restaurant dishes. So you're right. The fact is that there are drinks that are made with new different types of seasonings, and I say seasonings, and some of those involve also CBD. Mm-hmm. People are moving towards that, obviously, in a big way, or will be moving towards it in a bigger way after January 1st. And then in addition to that, you also have different types of wines and summer wines in rosés and champagnes that or sparkling wines as well that are just really good summer drinks. I mean, it was one place this week that they were featuring a white sangria, I think from Chile. Mm-hmm. So go figure, but that was great.
So there's tons of stuff to do, and the list is just, we'll try to post the lists of some of these things with the podcast of the program. But before we let you go this morning, I wonder how many people will put on the grill this, the Impossible Burger, the alt meat.
Yes,
thing?
No. Well, there's the Impossible Burger and there's Beyond.
And Beyond Meat.
Right. I think... that's a wild story, as you know.
Yeah.
I think it
went
out.
Even since the last time you were here, Beyond Meat has just become like every other person's talking about it.
Yes, and especially those that were lucky enough to buy in.
Yeah, to buy in on
it.
Right.
It closed the first day at 60, and today it's at 160, mm-hmm. or somewhere in that vicinity. So, yes, it's been quite the story. But besides that, I did a little research, and that is the number one item that vegetarians and those, not only vegetarians, there are people who are like myself who are just interested in trying it. And there are a lot of people who just want to go out and see what the flavor profile is like. And as a result, they are just off the charts. And so as a result, they are also very good for grilling out of all of the other plant-based products. That I understand is the one that most people will be grilling this year.
So they're easier to grill? Is that
I think they have a consistency that is better than the other products that are out there. And also, I think from a flavor standpoint, too, that they taste closer to beef. In fact, they are coming out this week with another beef product or another plant-based product that will even taste more like beef.
Yeah, and they're working on two breakfast. They have the Beyond Meat sausage patties, and I think a Beyond Meat version of bacon too that's coming out.
That will be interesting. Yeah. I mean, it clearly is something that's here to stay, and clearly you have people like Tyson and others that are getting into that world because they better quickly because they're owning it right now.
Well, Doug, thank you for bringing in barbecue this morning. Thanks for the conversation. I hope you have a wonderful and happy 4th of July and come back again. We'll talk to you again next month.
I look forward to seeing you next month, and you have a wonderful 4th of July. Stay away from the fireworks, but they're great to look at.
Doug Roth, founder of Playground Hospitality in Chicago and the CEO there of PlaygroundHospitality.com. We're going to continue our conversation with Doug after the bell this morning and talk more about some of the barbecue he brought in and some of his favorite places to go and find barbecue in downtown Chicago, in the podcast of the opening bell that we'll post shortly here at WGNRadio.com.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the opening bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Tuesday edition of the opening bell. McDonald's is testing robotic deep fryers and a voice-activated drive-thru at one of its locations in the suburbs. It was a story that the Wall Street Journal broke recently, and joining us this morning to talk more about this is Heather Haddon, a reporter who covered this story and who's been reporting on McDonald's and this new development. She's with us on the phone this morning. Heather, good morning. First, I want to talk to you a little bit about this McDonald's. You were there. This is artificial intelligence and some robots. What are they doing?
Yeah, so they're doing a few things here. So one is they are looking to add robots in the kitchen. So frying French fries and all the chicken products, it's really grueling work, and they're trying to automate aspects of it. So they have developed technology that uses a robot that essentially picks up frozen goods, whether it's French fries or meat products, and then brings it into a vat of oil, then lifts up the basket, dumps it, and then a server is there to pick it up and send it along its way. The other thing they're doing is they're testing voice-activated drive-through ordering. So this is sort of like Alexa, but when you actually pull up to the drive-through at a McDonald's, you are talking to a digital assistant. And these technologies are complicated. This is not easy to do, but McDonald's does seem to be having some initial success with it.
Yeah, I mean, if you could paint us a little bit more of a picture of what we're looking at here. I think everybody's probably seen the Flippy robot that we saw at another place flipping hamburgers. Does it look like that? Is this just a robotic arm or robotic arms that are doing this work?
So on the fryer, it does not look quite like Flippy. I mean, Flippy is its own kind of special thing that really mimics a human movement. But this takes products that move from a frozen kind of belt of products and basically, you know, turns it over and dumps it into this vat and the basket. Then an arm type thing does actually lift the basket, moves it along an area of this space, and then dumps it onto the warming tray where someone would actually pick it up.
And the artificial intelligence out at the ordering location, how is that working? Is that has it been a smooth process? Is it a smooth ordering system?
So I think, you know, both of these are still in test. McDonald's is very emphatic that these are still in test mode. So this is not something that is necessarily going to come to a store near you tomorrow, but it does seem like they're having some initial success. So when I was out there at the test store, one order, an actual human being did have to jump in. The person hesitated. It just couldn't pick up the order fast enough. And so someone had to get on a handset and just take the order like normal. But other cases, it really did work. So it asked someone for what they wanted to order. Then it said anything else. And then it all came up correctly on this digital screen. And the person in the drive-through did accept the order and picked it up. And these orders, you know, they did have alterations. There was like no lettuce. There was like only ketchup. So it wasn't just, you know, a standard order. They had some variations to it.
I guess the big questions are, a big question is this an effort to speed up the process of going through the ordering area at McDonald's? Or is this an effort to lower the number of employees doing these jobs?
So McDonald's says that this is not about reducing jobs. They want to take workers out of some of the most difficult spaces in the restaurant. You know, being a fry cook is really hard. So the fry station gentleman I saw working in this test restaurant, he was bringing out the frozen products, loading them into the machine, but then he wasn't having to stand over it and monitor this frying process the whole time because it was on an automatic timer and just would move through. So instead of just standing around there and making sure the fries were cooked correctly, he could be doing other things. And that's what McDonald's says this technology is to do.
Yeah, and I know I had in high school had some friends who worked at McDonald's, and even today people talk about how dangerous it is to work that French fry machine, and the frying area is a pretty dangerous area. So I would imagine the idea, too, is to limit injuries.
Yeah, I think, you know, make these jobs more appealing to workers is also something McDonald's really cares about. You know, the whole fast food industry is really struggling with difficulty in recruiting workers. Having low unemployment has really been tough for these businesses. So they're trying to do what they can to keep and retain workers and make them happier at their jobs. So if that's going out and helping customers actually in the dining room area, which is something McDonald's wants to do. If it's just making, yeah, the job less hot and greasy, that is what the company is saying. Now, of course, there's a lot of union activity who would really like to unionize McDonald's workers. They might have a different opinion, but this is what the company says.
Yeah, I mean, we've all been following the Fight for 15 effort to raise the minimum wage at places like McDonald's. You'd have to think those organizations are watching this very closely.
Oh, absolutely. So for sure, automation is something that unions are watching across fast food and across so many different industries this day. And McDonald's efforts certainly is among that, because they have certainly targeted McDonald's as a company who needs to do more on unions, do more in terms of their employees' quality of working conditions. So this is something they are certainly watching.
So, Heather, how will the testing proceed from here? Will there be more locations where they try this out? And what kinds of things will McDonald's be assessing in terms of watching these tests?
So, yeah, next step is that in the coming months, the technologies will both be tested at a handful of additional restaurants in the U.S. This is just a U.S. test for now, though they would love to roll this out globally if it does work. So they are picking normal restaurants to test these in and see how they do. They will take the learnings from those tests over the next few months, and then they will decide from there. But McDonald's is very emphatic to say these are still tests, but they're pretty optimistic in how they've done so far.
Yeah, and another question might be, how are franchisees going to react to this? Franchisees have not been necessarily happy with McDonald's in recent years. They just had to do some upgrades at their restaurants, and the delivery service is causing some headaches among franchisees. Will they have a big say in this too?
Yes, and so far from what I've heard and what the company says, franchisees want this. They want things to be more efficient. This is technology that they are interested in because, you know, it could help get more out of their employees. It could help speed things along. This is stuff, you know, as opposed to some of the upgrades you mentioned, like the delivery and the restaurant dining areas upgrades that were very expensive that the company wanted them to do. This is stuff that actually helps their operations, their back kitchen operations. And so from the early things I've heard, they want this technology.
We've been talking about McDonald's, but I would guess that other restaurants are probably doing some of these tests and thinking about this too, aren't they?
Yeah, so for sure. So, you know, we've all seen a lot of fast food restaurants adopt digital kiosks to speed up ordering, but a lot, from what I understand, have also been in discussions with technology companies to either put robots, station robots to help with certain tasks, or do this automated voice-activated ordering. Again, this is complicated stuff. This is not easy to do. So it seems that McDonald's is one of the early players in this sphere, but they're big, so they have the checkbook to try to push this forward.
All right, Heather, thank you for sharing your reporting with us. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks so much.
Heather Hatton, a reporter on food and retail policy at the Wall Street Journal, based here in Chicago. You can find her story online at WSJ.com, and make sure you also follow her on Twitter at Heather Hatton, H-A-D-D-O-N. We'll link out to the story as well in the podcast of The Opening Bell a little bit later on this morning. 5:48 now here in The Opening Bell. Time to update traffic again this morning. Mary Vandeveld's watching the ride into work.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN, Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward a little weakness at The Opening Bell later this morning. Dow, NASDAQ, S&P futures off anywhere from just a fraction to nearly a quarter of a percent. Now, agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. As usual on Tuesday morning, we take a look at the USDA Monday afternoon reports, and it looks like basically all of the corn crop has now emerged. But when you take a look at crop conditions in corn fields, some wide variances. For the nation, 56% of the corn crop rated good to excellent. But take a look at the three I's, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa. Illinois reporting 42% good to excellent. Indiana only 39%, but Iowa 64%. And Wisconsin reporting 55% in the good to excellent category in the corn crop. Checking the soybean situation, we still have planting to do, of course, because as of Sunday night, 92% of the soybean crop had been planted. But again, looking at those crop conditions for soybeans that are up, We find Illinois 44%, good to excellent. Indiana only 31%, and Iowa 64%, good to excellent. Not much reaction in the grain market yesterday to the meeting between the Chinese and U.S. presidents. As a matter of fact, the market ended lower, with July wheat down 15 and a quarter, July corn down 9 cents a bushel, and July soybeans down 15 and three quarters. Most of that reaction because of favorable growing weather. Livestock futures, the October lean hog contract up $2.62, October cattle up 7 cents a hundredweight, and October feeder cattle up 57 cents. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You have a great day as well. A couple more stories here as we get ready to leave you. Japan is defending a decision to slap restrictions on exports of certain high-tech materials to South Korea, citing national security concerns. The chief cabinet secretary in Japan says the rules are needed under international standards for keeping tabs on sensitive technology that could be used for military purposes. He denies the step violates free trade rules. Earlier, officials cited a lack of trust between Tokyo and Seoul as the reason for the limits. Japan's trade minister says the kimono belongs to Japan, not Kim Kardashian West's shapewear brand. West announced the line Kimono Solution Wear last week, but some Japanese critics on social media said the name, which the reality TV star, makeup mogul, and budding lawyer trademarked, is an inappropriate take on the centuries-old kimono. On Monday, West tweeted that she'll launch her brand under a new name following careful thought and consideration. OPEC members sat down today with other major oil-producing nations to finalize a plan to cut production for another 9 months in a bid to shore up prices at a time of waning demand. Members of the Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries agreed to the extension of the cut, and key non-OPEC member Russia has urged others to agree to it as well. And a new program at Western Illinois University will let agriculture students get a graduate degree quicker. A news release from the Macomb School says the option for the Master of Business Administration in Ag Business will be available in the fall. WIU School of Agriculture Director Andy Baker says undergraduate students will be able to earn the degree in just 1 year. The College of Business and Technology Academic Advisor says students will be able to use two classes for both their undergraduate and graduate degree. That means they'll be able to complete both degrees in 5 years. Undergraduate agriculture students will have to meet certain requirements. Agriculture is one of the top majors at the university, where more than 6,000 graduate and undergraduate students attend. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Tuesday, July the 2nd, an abbreviated schedule of economic reports this week because of the 4th of July holiday on Thursday. Deficit and factory orders will be out tomorrow. Job creation and employment figures on Friday. Today on the schedule, we've got a couple of Fed speakers out, including Loretta Mester and John Williams. We'll also get some numbers from the Red Book, the Retail Red Book, and German retail sales. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Tuesday, July the 2nd.